We are continuing on in our travels with Joshua, picking up on Pastor John's heels from last week, where he talked about the defeat at Ai. Today we're going to talk about Ai being defeated by Israel. But first this. A certain children's hospital had a boy who gained a reputation of wreaking havoc with the nurses and staff. One day a visitor who knew about his terrorizing nature made him a deal. If you have a good week, when I come back, I will give you a dime. Must have been a long time ago. But. So a week later, she showed up, and she stood before his bed, and she said, I'll tell you what, I won't ask the nurses if you've been behaving. You tell me, do you deserve the dime? And after a moment, from the rustling of the sheets, a little voice said, give me a penny. So let's do a little review of where we're at in our storyline so far. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry land, as we know. They camped on the west side of the Jordan, made their headquarters at Gilgal, and there before them was this fortified, humongous city of Jericho. At this point, once they passed over the Jordan, God stopped providing the manna. He provided manna for 40 years for them to eat. Now that stopped because they entered the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, and they could eat of the first fruits of that land. We mentioned that years before crossing the Jordan can represent a carnal, sinful life, but then crossing over the Jordan represents a dedicated Christian life. It's a new spiritual life lived for God and receiving his blessings of the promised land. So before their first battle, God met with Joshua, very important, and he gave them a specific plan for victory. And they obeyed God's plan, and they won effortlessly. The ark was there, representing God's presence, the priest blowing trumpets, the people shouted, the walls fell flat, and they conquered the city, no issues. God worked among them. Except for one little problem. This guy named Achan decided that he was going to take some of the plunder from the city, even though God ordered that it wasn't to be touched, it was supposed to be dedicated to God. First fruits of their battle. So Achan took the stuff and he hid it in his tent, and he tried to cover it up. So now the next scene in our show, the Israelites decide they're going to go and attack Ai. Small little city, shouldn't be a problem. Strategically placed on a mountain, but small little city. So they took 3,000 men, and they got their butts kicked. And they were chased back into the wilderness, and 36 of their men died by the sword from the attack back from the people of Ai. God exposed Achan and his sin, and his entire family was stoned to death, and God relented. Alan Redpath writes this: there are three reasons for defeat at Ai: self-confidence, prayerlessness, and disobedience. Can it be that some Christian who has entered the new experience of God and claimed by faith the victory of Christ has been disillusioned and defeated? And can it be that the reason for this is that he had been confident in himself, had not prayed, or had been disobedient to God? Ai is a representative story for us to teach us something in our Christian walk with the Lord. Mark Twain writes this. It says he encountered a ruthless businessman from Boston during his travels who boasted that nobody ever got in his way once he determined to do something. He said, before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I'm going to climb Mount Sinai. And when I'm up there, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top of my voice. Unimpressed, Twain responded, I got a better idea. Stay in Boston and keep them. We're going to turn to Joshua chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Let me just pray first. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray that you open our hearts, our minds, our spirits to receive from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. God said to Joshua, don't be timid and don't so much as hesitate. Take all your soldiers with you and go back to Ai. I have turned the king of Ai over to you, his people, his city, and his land. Do to Ai and its king what you did to Jericho and its king. Only this time, you may plunder its stuff and cattle to your heart's content. Set an ambush behind the city. Did you notice a difference in this approach than what the Israelites did when they first tried to take over Ai? It says, God said to Joshua. Sounds like prayer to me. There was a dialogue with God. Didn't happen the first time. And prayer happened this time first, before they went in and tried to do anything in their own strength. Just like they did at Jericho, prayer came first. God said, Josh, let me tell you how this is going to go down. First, know this. I'm giving you the city, I'm giving you the king, I'm giving you the land, cattle, and all that they have. It's all going to be yours. You're going to win this thing. It'll be just like Jericho. However, this time, you're allowed to keep anything that you take from the city. It's yours. I got my first fruits from Jericho. Now the rest of the battles are for you and my people. God demands first fruits of us, and then he blesses us with everything else. You can't lose. We have a win-win situation with God if we just obey. And then God lays out this battle plan for Joshua so he can follow it to the T. He says, take all your soldiers. Remember the first time they thought they could take care of this in their own strength, so they only sent 3,000 men, and they got whooped. This time he took 30,000 men, 10 times the force. Most of them hid in ambush behind the city, and a small number, just like the first time, went and attacked Ai at the front door. See, even though God has won the victory over Satan and sin, sin still sometimes gets the better of us, and we lose little battles along the way. And then we must rid ourselves of that sin, hard as it may be, and through Christ, gain the victory. It's much harder the second time. When we lose a spiritual battle, it puts a little weakness in our spiritual life. And it's so much harder to overcome and defeat that thing once we've lost the first time. Key is, try not to lose the first time. It takes everything you got to win a battle. Ray Stedman writes this, the story of Ai is symbolic of fleshly sin. Its subtlety, its seeming insignificance. We think we can control our tempers and our lusts and our evil thoughts if we simply decide to. But we discover it isn't that easy, and failure to conquer the lusts of the flesh can produce tragic, disastrous defeat. Let's look at Joshua chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. Joshua and all his soldiers got ready to march on Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 men, tough, seasoned fighters, and sent them off at night with these orders. Look sharp now. Lie in ambush behind the city. Get as close as you can. Stay alert. I and the troops with me will approach the city head on. And when they come out to meet us just as before, we'll turn and run. And they'll come after us, leaving the city. As we are off and running, they'll say, They're running away just like they did the first time. That's your signal to spring from your ambush and take the city. God, your God, will hand it to you on a platter. Once you have the city, burn it to the ground. God says it, you do it, go to it. I've given you your orders. You got the scene, right? Strategy was to ambush the city from behind. And they executed the plan that God gave them to the T. And it brought the victory that they needed. So most of the army laid behind the city in ambush, and a few men attacked the city. The men of Ai came out just like they did the first time. They chased the Israelites into the wilderness just like they did the first time. And then the men came out of their ambush and attacked the city and burned it to the ground. And suddenly the men of Ai turned from the wilderness and looked back on their city in smoke. And they realized they'd been tricked. And it was too late. 12,000 people of Ai were put to death in that battle. Every man and woman, all that they had, and it was burned to the ground and the plunder they kept for themselves. It was a happy story. A lot of bloodshed, but a happy story. Hey, Reimer. Good to see you, bro. Eugene Peterson has a commentary as part of the Bible that we use. And I'm going to read you something from that in a minute. But first, let's look at chapter 8, verses 23 to 29. It says, then the men in ambush poured out of the city. The men of Ai were caught in the middle with the Israelites on both sides, a real massacre. Not a single survivor, except for the king of Ai. They took him alive and brought him to Joshua. When it was all over, Israel had killed everyone in Ai, whether in the fields or in the wilderness, where they had chased them. And when the killing was complete, the Israelites returned to Ai and completed the devastation. The death toll that day came to 12,000 men and women, everyone in Ai. Joshua didn't lower his outstretched javelin until the sacred destruction of Ai and all its people was completed. Israel did get to take the livestock and the loot left in the city. God's instructions to Joshua allowed for that. And Joshua burned Ai to the ground, a heap of nothing forever, a no place. Go see for yourself. And he hanged the king of Ai from a tree. At evening, when the sun was going down, Joshua ordered the corpse cut down, and they dumped it at the entrance to the city and piled it high with stones. And you can go see that also. Peterson writes this, the taking of both cities is instructive, Jericho and Ai. It's instructive to us, for us. Jericho was taken supernaturally, while Ai was taken strategically. The Christian life contains both the supernatural and the strategic. There are times when God brings victory in a miraculous way, but there are also times when he brings victory in a mundane way. We should anticipate both possibilities. We should pray, and we should plan. For those super spiritualists out there, we should pray, yes, but we should also plan. There's room in there for our minds and our strategies to build a plan. So we should pray and we should plan, for we never know whether victory will take place through divine intervention or human preparation. Very important words. So Israel was commanded to destroy everything, and they did. They now had complete victory over the city of Ai. When we lose a spiritual battle, no matter how small, it takes more effort to gain the victory the next time. But it's possible with God. It teaches us to stay close to God, to obey his word. Israel lost their first battle with Ai because Achan stole God's first fruits from Jericho. And the Lord knew how important it was for his people to understand his law. Thou shalt not steal. But they did. Or lie, or cheat, or anything else. So after their victory, Israel did what God directed them to do in Deuteronomy 27. They went 20 miles north of Ai, and they hung out between two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. The two peaks are about a mile and a half apart, and the base of the mountains practically touch each other in the valley below. And Shechem was a city that was at the center of the valley. And he split up the Israelites by tribe, and he put six tribes against Mount Ebal and six tribes against Mount Gerizim. And they were to face each other with the ark and the trumpets and the priests carrying the ark in the center of the valley, and the people on both sides, six tribes on each side, with their back against the mountain, facing each other, setting the stage. Then he built an altar of stones, not just any stones that never had a tool put to them, stones that weren't cut out, stones that were natural and found and placed as an altar. And then he offered sacrifices to God on that altar. And then he took something, I don't know what, and he wrote the law of Moses on the stones of that altar in the face of all the people watching, and he wrote the law on the altar. It was the same place where Abraham had built his first altar to the Lord 600 years before. It was also here that Jacob dug his famous well, and in the New Testament where Jesus spoke about the water of eternal life. And then Joshua read the law of Moses to the people, the blessings and the curses. He read every word of the law of God. The tribes against Mount Ebal responded to the curses. You will be cursed if the judgment of God against those who disobey. And the people against Mount Gerizim responded to the blessings. You will be blessed if, and talks about blessings and joy and the glory that comes to those who obey God. And everyone heard the blessings and the curses of the Lord that day. Israelites, strangers, everybody in earshot heard the law of the Lord, both the blessings and the curses. God wanted all to hear his law because it gives people conscience against lying, against murder, against adultery, against stealing, all those thou shalt not. God wants us to know those things and obey those things. It would cause everyone to have a desire to have the blessings of God and not the curses. That's got to be our motivation. And God commanded Israel to repeat this process every 7 years because that would give each generation an opportunity to stand together and hear the word of God spoken, to learn of the blessings and the curses of God. In the New Testament, Jesus gave us our test of our love for God. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Quite simple, isn't it? You love me? Obey. You love me? Know my word. You love me? Keep my commandments. To this day, we need to know God's law and the results of keeping it, keeping his commandments, following what the word tells us. The defeat at Ai showed the consequences of not keeping God's commands. And then when they turned around and obeyed, they were blessed, they won the battle, they got all the stuff. It was a good day. As New Testament believers, if we do not obey the Lord, we'll end up living like unsaved people, and God may have to judge us. Those who choose not to obey God in time always suffer the consequences. Today, in this day and age, in this country especially, we're very fortunate. You can go almost anywhere and buy a copy of God's Word. Anywhere, anytime, cheap, expensive, fancy, plain, hard-covered, soft-covered, leather-covered, whatever your preference. And most people have multiples. I am a Bible freak. I must have 20 Bibles. Every version ever created plus some. What good does it do me if I don't read it? Do I just carry this book back and forth to church because it looks good, because I'm supposed to? Or am I reading it, studying it, absorbing it, listening to God speak to me through it? Amen. It's the only way it works. You want victory in your life. You want blessing in your life. Amen. Ask God to show you what he has to say. Where was I going with all that? Someplace. Anyway, so are you in the Word on a regular basis? It's so important to your spiritual life. You know, we put the words to the scriptures on the screen, as well as songs and stuff. I'm not so sure that's a good thing. You don't even have to bring your Bible to church. Shame on you. Bring it anyway. But you don't have to, because it's up on the screen. I think we've gotten soft with technology. Everybody wants high-tech stuff, but, you know, is it helping or is it hurting? I don't really know. Corrine and I grew up in the faith, attending church services before they had projectors and screens and technology. And you brought your Bible, and you flipped to every passage, every text, every verse that was preached from the front. You marked it off in your Bible, you took notes, and it was a good thing. I don't see that happening as much anymore. So, you don't have to bring your Bible to church, but you do have to read it even at home, so please. Here's a quote from our book. It says, to experience personal victory in our lives and to enjoy God's blessings, we need to regularly read his word and hear his word at church. The greatest respect we give God is our obedience to his word. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, for all that it contains to bring us into a good relationship with you, to lead us into spiritual victory instead of defeat, to bring us the blessings of God and not the curses. Lord, we need your word. We need to digest it. We need to study it. We need to know it. It needs to be a part of us on the inside. That when things come our way, we don't have to go floundering looking for where to find what to do. It's in us. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless your people today. Inspire them. Give them a desire to know you and to know your word. Help us, Lord, to walk with you and for you in everything we do. We love you. We need you. And Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Have a great day. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. Get some bagels. Say hello to somebody. Have a great week.